How incredible it is to realise how much we can become attached to something or someone. It is hard to develop a relationship, and we have to put our soul, our heart. We have to do our part to make it a lasting relationship, and we often cling to it so much that sometimes we idealise. Sometimes we put people on a pedestal, and when they fail us, we get discouraged and frustrated. We are disappointed and cannot seem to let go of the situation or the person or the object that we have called a blessing. It costs us. It costs us because we have become so attached to it. There are people who are attached to material things, and even if you don't believe it, that is how it is happening. For example, the time came when perhaps changes came to your life and we had to get rid of some things. It doesn't mean that God is bad, but just that changes come. Changes, even if we don't like them, are necessary. And it turns out that in one of those changes, we have to sell the car or sell the house. And we don't do it because we even name the car and we say, oh, I don't want to leave Patrico. I don't want to leave Memo. I don't want to leave. And you say, wow, how much does this person love you? But this is not a person. It's a motorbike or a car. It's a property, and it's hard to get rid of it. Maybe we put a very high price on it so that nobody will buy it. And when people say, why is it that expensive? We say, I put that price on it because it has sentimental value for me, and it's hard to let go of that. There are people who cry for the house, for the car, for the money. They cry for the material things. But understanding that as they come, they will also go. And in the end, we are the owners of nothing, but we just have a great blessing that God makes us participate in, and that it passes through our hands and we can enjoy it. But only for a while, and we can then see things from another's perspective. It happens to us with material things. It is incredible how many problems one finds between siblings fighting over an inheritance, a car, or a piece of land, seeing how they haven't spoken to each other for years because they didn't do well in the business. And it is hard for us to let go of that. Now, when it comes to relationships and people, the same thing happens, because in the end we are emotional beings, and God did not make us to be alone. So we like to be sociable, and therefore we become attached to people. The problem is that we put them on pedestals and we idealize them, knowing that they are also human beings like us and can fail. We get attached, and when we have to let go, we do not want to do it. And those attachments become more of an emotional dependency, and that's where it gets complicated. Because a person who is emotionally dependent on another person uses expressions like, without you I can't live, or you are the one who gives meaning to my life. Then when that person is no longer there, they live in deep mourning for their whole life, thinking that being with them was the only thing that made them happy. I know it is going to hit some people hard, but sometimes it is necessary. And I tell you, life goes on. There is life beyond that detachment. There is life beyond the pain, beyond the job, that company that you had to close. There is life beyond the debt, that money that you lost, for which you worked many years of life, and it vanished. Because while there is life, there is hope. God is hope, and God is our life. He allows us to open our eyes every day. God allows us to open them, and God gives us the gift of life. But it is up to you to value that life. It is up to you to get up again. It is up to you to remain trusting, to know that out of all of this, something good will be done by God, because He always has a marvellous and true plan. Why do I talk about this? Because it is amazing how often we see how dependent we become on people, how dependent we become on material things. In this world, and when it comes to God, we find it hard to depend on Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, It speaks of the first king of Israel and of the prophet called Samuel, who had the honour of anointing, setting apart and blessing the first king of Israel. And how Samuel loved him very much. He had all his expectations placed upon him. It is like the father who has had his expectations placed on his son. And when he realizes his son failed, he lied to him and became disappointed. And God said to Samuel, "I have already given many opportunities to Saul, and he has not wanted to learn. He has not been obedient. So I have thrown away his reign, and I have already raised up someone according to my own heart, for whom you will pray, and later on he will replace him. He will continue to be king for a time, but once you are gone, it will be the turn of this man who I have chosen, and that I want you to anoint." When Samuel heard this, it gave him strength. It hit him hard. And when you have your expectations placed on someone, and when you say, "I did not achieve this dream, but he is going to help me to realize that dream," but then he does not take advantage of it, you feel that suddenly they played with your good intentions and you feel disappointed. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul when I have cast him out, that he should no longer reign over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and come. I will send thee to Jesse of Bethlehem. For I have provided a king amongst his sons. How long will you mourn for Saul?" That is a question I have come to ask you from God today. Now, I'm not literally talking about King Saul. Saul today may be representing people or situations, objects, friends or family, of which you have become emotionally dependent, or in which you have placed your ideals, and today you have realized they have failed you and that they have lied to you, that they were not what you idealized. Once you have located it, I ask you on behalf of God, how long will you mourn your Saul? Now, that something similar happened to me, and it was something simple, but it is a life lesson. I got used to it all the time when I was in primary school. They taught me that I had to occupy the first places, and I made an effort to study. I made an effort to be the best. I occupied the first places. I came home with medals. The same in the high school. I tried to be disciplined and be the pride of my parents and work hard at it and did it. But then when I arrived at the university, I found myself with classmates who were better than me in certain subjects I didn't understand. Within the engineering that I studied, some of them in the exams did better than I did. I began to feel a certain depression, a certain frustration and disappointment with myself to say that I hadn't achieved. They are better than me, and no matter how hard I try, I don't understand. I had to be free of that, you know, and to surrender it to the cross. Run to God and through his word ask myself the question, how long will you mourn Saul? How long will you mourn the disciplined Elijah, the Elijah who wanted to achieve this, the Elijah who wanted to be the best? It's not bad, but I overreached and I didn't understand. That there are things that I didn't understand and I needed to learn them. And when this question is asked, how long will you mourn your Saul, it made me understand that I needed to let go. And that there are things in me with which God does not agree. That made me base myself on what I could achieve in my own strength. And that I could never do it on my own, and that God discarded that, because in the end I became independent of God, considering that I could do it on my own and I did not need God. In other words, Lord, take care of those who need you while I can take care of myself. Give me life and I'll take care of the rest. But God said, no, it is not like that. You need me in everything, even in the simple things. Let me be your father. And that I could understand that I had to let go of the old Elijah. I don't know what's going on with you, but I ask you the question, how long will you mourn Saul? How long will you mourn that relationship? How long will you carry that with you? Until when will you begin to understand that you have more than what you need? Until when will you let go and understand that if you trust in the Lord, he will sustain you and he will not leave you alone. But perhaps your greatest fear is that if I let go of the relationship, and that if this is far as it has gone, if I let go of the abuse, then what am I going to depend on? Some will be thinking, at least I have food in the house, at least I have a roof, at least I have this, or at least I have that. But no, don't say in the at least. You should be able to lift up your head because you've let go of your Saul and you've realised that there is already a David awaiting for you. I hope I have made myself clear. Let's pray. Father, I pray for these very simple words. Help us to see, Lord, those things that we have idealized and idolized, what has to do even with our egos, with our own self. It has to do with those material things or people. Lord, help us to let go of them completely and change our mourning into joy, because carrying a mourning means condemning us to a deep sadness all the time, to think that our life is gone when we still have it and that there is many and beautiful and pleasant things still to enjoy. But we are not seeing it in that way. Today, Lord, may your words open our eyes and make us see and bring that freedom we will need today to move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I have spoken to you the words of your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Remember that God always comes just in time. I'd like to invite you to visit the page that we have on social networks to know of the events and receive the word of the Lord. It's our YouTube channel, Devotionals Just in Time. You can search for it on YouTube and then click on the subscribe button. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok and Instagram as Pastor Elias HC. And if you come to Barranquilla, you can visit us at Carrera 49, number 72 to 148 on Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock in the morning. Blessings.